still focused on Shabbos. I figure this week, maybe one more week, we'll talk about Shabbos, move on to our next topic. But today I want to focus on another aspect of Shabbos. And that aspect of Shabbos, I think, comes from two different angles. In the Friday night Shemona Esrei, we refer to Shabbos as Tachlis Masa Breshis, the purpose or the goal of all of creation. So they say in the prayers, you sanctified the seventh day for your sake, for your name. Tachlis Masa Shemavart is the purpose of your entire creation. We have to understand how we view Shabbos as a purpose of creation, as a goal in our lives, as a goal of creation. When we see Shabbos as a mitzvah, but we want the mitzvahs. There's the Torah 613 mitzvahs. But none of them are referred to as the purpose of everything. Like Shabbos is referred to as a purpose, it's a goal. It's much different, it's an endpoint. It's much different than other mitzvahs. So how do we understand Shabbos as the tachlis, as the purpose of all, and how would that apply to our lives? So obviously, you know, every week, last day of the week of Shabbos, it leads to Shabbos, so we already sense there that Shabbos is an endpoint, it's a goal, because every single day of the week, like I pointed out last week, you count every day based on Shabbos. I think Judy's pointing out, the first day of Shabbos, second day of Shabbos. So, on a simple level, our week does hit Shabbos at the end.
You remember my question. Wow, I do. That's impressive.
But, obviously it has to go much deeper than that. The fact that it's the last day of the week doesn't really give it the point of being the purpose of all of creation. So how do you view Shabbos as a purpose? There's another aspect I want to discuss, which is, I guess, the second aspect, which we'll talk about, I guess, the second half of the talk, is Shabbos is referred to as a miniature Olam Haba. It's a taste of the world to come. There's many sources for that throughout the Gemara, the Midrash. There's many sources. The Shabbos itself somehow replicates, it represents, it mimics, it gives us some glimpse into our final reward, our final destination, the world to come. So view Shabbos as a goal and a purpose, so it's that way within our world. But also it has in it some sense of the final destination in the future, Olam Haba, the world to come, where everything is heading towards. So Shabbos serves as this endpoint, this goal. We'll understand how we can address Shabbos and experience Shabbos as a goal in our lives, not only as another mitzvah to perform. So first we have to understand what it means to be a goal. And everything in life is either one thing or the other. Either it's a means to an end, or it's a goal in and of itself. And we can apply that in so many ways. There are things that we live for, and things that we do to get there. So everyone's going to have what they live for, and everyone has to define that differently. And the Torah does give us things that we should be living for. And then we have ways to get to those goals. And you could take it on a very simple level, just as an analogy. A person is working very hard to afford a new car. So then they may work extra hours, they may skimp on groceries, they may forgo buying a new pair of shoes. All of that is a means to an end, and the end point is getting the new car. That's the end point. You ask your typical American, what are you living for? What's your end point? So you can take it, and a lot of people don't have an answer to that question, because people kind of go with the flow. They follow life along based on what society expects out of them. But you ask a kid in high school, well, why are you in high school? So maybe you say, my parents make me go there. That may be one reason. They say, I want to get to college. Why do you want to get to college? So I could go to grad school. I want to grad school, so I want to get a job. I want a job, so I make money. I want money, so I can buy stuff. So, why do you want the stuff? Is the stuff your goal? Is the stuff just a means to another end? Is your goal in life stuff? Maybe it is, right? But everyone's going to have their goal. Everyone's going to have the means to the end, the way they get there. So what's the end game? Where's it all headed? So some people might say, well, I want to save up to have a good retirement. So your whole life, you're going to work for 50 years so you can retire nicely again. Like, what's your end goal? What's your game? So the Torah tells us that there is something called Olam Haba. There is our final spiritual reward. Olam Haba. There's the world to come. A final spiritual reward. There is reward. There is goals in this world itself. The goal being performing the mitzvos, serving Hashem. And those goals we perform every day of our lives. It's a goal. A mitzvah is an end point. It's not a means to an end. A mitzvah is, that's what I'm here for. God put me in the world to do mitzvahs. God put me in the world to do the right thing, to listen to Him, to follow His will. That's why I'm in this world. And ultimately, it all does lead to the final spiritual reward, eternal reward. That's how we view our scale of goals versus means to an end. What are the tools and what are the goals? So that's on a much bigger picture. So that the Torah perspective would be, what is our goal in life? Our goal in life is to become servants of Hashem to the best of our ability. Where is that taking us? It's taking us to a final spiritual reward. So then why do we have to wake up in the morning and go to work? Well, I can't serve Hashem if I can't put food on the table. I can't serve Hashem if I can't buy clothes and have a place to live, and etc., etc., etc. So we have to put things in the perspective of goals versus means. And everything has to be grouped in that way, one way or the other. Your vacation could be a goal. Your vacation could be a means to an end. I could go on vacation because I need to relax so that I can go back to life and be more productive. Or the vacation could be my goal. That's my end point. I'm working all week, all year long for the vacation. Or it could be the goal is I want to produce and accomplish and be productive in the world. But a vacation is a necessary part of being productive. If I keep on working, I'm just going to collapse. I have to take off time and relax and, you know, recharge so I can work and accomplish once again. So we see how everything can fit into one of these two different categories. Now, on a smaller scale, we can look at Shabbos as our goal in life. Certainly in our week, it's a goal. And in life, it's a goal. And let's think about Shabbos from that perspective, as the tachlis, as the purpose of the creation. A person, let's say, goes to work, as our example. A person goes to work. And we say, why are you going to work? To make money. What do you want money for? So the Torah answer should be, I need money to serve Hashem. If I don't have money, then how can I perform God's will if I can't put food on the table? That's what they say in Kemach, in Torah. If there's no flour, there's no Torah. You can't feed yourself, and you're weak and starving, there's no way to perform a mitzvah. So you have to make sure that you're healthy and alive. Why do I take care of my health? So the Torah answer would be, because I need to be able to be healthy to serve Hashem. If I don't have strength, I can't serve Hashem either. How do you choose your friends? How do you choose your pastimes? So again, the Torah perspective would be, I choose those things which help me serve Hashem, and I avoid those things which are going to distract my purpose in life. So Shabbos is a day where we're not involved at all in the means to an end. We're involved totally in our end goals. During the week, we're involved in many things which we would call are just purely means to an end. I have to work, I have to get the plumber to come in and fix something, I have to clean the house, I have to take my car to the mechanic, I have to go shopping. And there's so many things I have to do during the week. And you're not going to say, my goal is to go to the grocery store. I'm living to go to the grocery store. Hopefully no one's saying that. You know, I'm living so that I can go to the car mechanic. I mean, those are all means to an end. I have a goal, and all these things should fit into my goal in some way. And that's what I'm involved all week long. All week long, I'm involved in things, many, many things, which are just means, but they're not goals. Shabbos, we put all that aside. And on Shabbos, we say, this is a day where I'm going to be involved totally in my goals in life, not in means to an end, but in the end in and of itself. So I'm involved in family. I'm involved in relationships with friends. I'm involved in prayer. I'm involved in study. I'm involved in enjoying that which I've worked for. You can think on a very simple, basic level, on Shabbos we can actually enjoy the fruits of our labor. I work all week long. We make money. On Shabbos we're supposed to create a nice meal, a nice atmosphere, put on nice clothes, and enjoy what we have. That's on a very basic level. That's part of a goal. That's not a means to end. That's part of the end. On a deeper level, so the end is serving Hashem, which comes within prayer and mitzvos and Torah study, family, relationships, that type of thing, which is what we focus on Shabbos. We're not focused on Shabbos at all on means, we're focused on ends. That's why we have to get everything ready before Shabbos. We were not allowed to do work on Shabbos, and one ramification of that is therefore I'm forced by Friday night at sundown to have everything done. All of the things which are means to an end have to be finished. Food has to be cooked, house has to be cleaned. Everything should be in order so that on Shabbos I'm just involved in the goals, not involved in the means to an end. That's part of the idea. And if you take it on even a bigger picture level, so that we actually saw in this class a few months ago, we looked at the very beginning of Maseilas Yesharim, the Path of the Just. And at the beginning of the Path of the Just, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lutzato says, what's the purpose of life? What are we here for? And he said, the ultimate purpose is l'sa'anegal Hashem, to delight in Hashem and to benefit from the radiance of His presence. So the reason we're in the world is to have pleasure, but the greatest pleasure of all. To have delight in Hashem and to benefit from the radiance of the divine presence. That's how he's translating it. The radiance. That's because it's the goal of all of life. It's to have pleasure, but it's the greatest pleasure of all. The greatest pleasure of all is that spiritual pleasure of enjoying Hashem's presence. We have lots of other pleasures in life, but our goal is the greatest pleasure. We don't want any of these second-rate pleasures. We want the real pleasure, which is enjoying Hashem. The goal on Shabbos is to get to pleasure, So both, again, we have the mitzvah called Onuk Shabbos, which there should be physical pleasure on Shabbos, which is why we have nice foods and why we create a nice Shabbos atmosphere. But ultimately, that's supposed to serve for us as a model for ultimate pleasure as well, which is the pleasure of the divine presence. Lis anegal Hashem, to take delight in Hashem himself. It's actually a discussion in the book of Yeshaya, the book of Isaiah. It says, and this paragraph in Isaiah is a source for many concepts of Shabbos. And it says, I'll just read the article translation, it makes it easier. It says, if you restrain your foot because it is the Sabbath, refrain from accomplishing your own needs on my holy day. If you proclaim the Sabbath a delight, so we're supposed to call Shabbos a delight, it's supposed to be proclaimed as a delight, and the holy day of Hashem honored, and you honor it by not engaging in your own affairs, from seeking your own needs or discussing the forbidden, then you will delight in Hashem. So if we keep Shabbos properly, the end result is the delight in Hashem, which is supposed to be the end result of our life. Our goal in life, our final destination should be delight in Hashem. And on Shabbos, guarding Shabbos and keeping Shabbos appropriately should bring one to the delight in Hashem. And it says, I will mount you astride the heights of the world. I'll provide you the heritage of your forefather Jacob, for the mouth of Hashem has spoken. So it begins to describe observing Shabbos appropriately, refraining from forbidden labors, from forbidden speech, from going places that aren't appropriate for Shabbos. And it says, what's the end result? You're going to call the Shabbos a delight, so you personally have a delight in Shabbos, which may mean the physical pleasure of Shabbos, and then ultimately it leads you to delight in Hashem, the spiritual pleasure of Shabbos. And that all serves, again, these are all because we're focusing in on goals, not on means to an end. So if the goal is going to be enjoyment and pleasure, so we're going to enjoy what we have in this world, and it should lead to enjoyment of the spiritual world as well. So that's how we can view Shabbos as a goal. And practically, we discussed this a little bit last week. Shabbos should permeate the whole week. We could structure our week around Shabbos. So for instance, obviously Shabbos preparations are part of it. We prepare before Shabbos. We set the table. We clean the house. We invite the company you want to be with. We want to make arrangements for ourselves to be in the right places on Shabbos. And through that, it becomes a day of pleasure. It's a day, let's call it, I'm living out my dream on Shabbos. All week long, I'm just getting ready for it. And on Shabbos, I'm trying to live out my dreams. You know, what's a day where I can just focus on those things that are important to me, those things that I enjoy, those people that I want to be with? This is my stop along the way. It's in a sense why I do everything else. We call it a manucha. I've reached a goal, an end point. I have nowhere else to go, nothing else to do. Now I get to enjoy what I have.
What's manucha mean?
Manucha means rest. It means rest, but it's more of a rest being like it comes to a halt, it's an end point. You know, I've reached an end point. This idea of manucha. So I've reached my goal. I have nothing else to do.
Is manucha more like a spiritual rest than a physical rest?
It goes both ways. Yeah. Manucha, I mean, the term is used, I think, in both senses, both spiritual and physical. I mean, physical rest itself is part of Shabbos as well. We talk about in the Zmiros we sing on Friday night, we say, V'ashena Meshubachas, the sleep is praiseworthy on Shabbos. And that extra Shabbos nap, we actually sing about it as a praiseworthy thing. So there's the physical rest, but it should also be a spiritual rest in the sense that we get to recharge our spirit. We get to recharge ourselves spiritually and tap into our goals and those things which are spiritual in our life. Yeah.
Can I ask you, I don't remember what song, the song where they sing Shabbos Manucha, what does that phrase mean?
Shabbos rest.
Oh, Shabbos.
That's what I'm saying, Shabbos rest, yeah. So to take things into perspective, you know, a lot of us all week long are part of the rat race, things are just happening, we're involved in things, we're busy, we're distracted, and we don't know where we're going, we don't make a goal, we don't know what we're doing. People just go with the flow. Again, a typical American kid, you ask them, they don't really know, like, what's my ultimate goal at the end, they're just kind of going along with the flow. But Shabbos is supposed to teach us that there is somewhere I'm supposed to go. There's an end point. There's an end point in my week, which is Shabbos, but the concept of Shabbos is an end point. There's something I'm working towards. Every week I'm working towards that day where I can focus on my goals, not on the means to an end, but on the end in and of itself. So that's one perspective on Shabbos. So all week long, the Gemara relates that the great Hillel and Shammai, I forgot who said what, but one of them, every day used to set aside something for Shabbos, every day of the week. And one of them wouldn't necessarily set something aside every single day, but he would find the nicest things throughout the week and set them aside for Shabbos. So one was careful every day just to do something for Shabbos. So one said, well, I'm not going to do something every day, but when I come across the finest cut of meat in the store, I come across, you know, the finest clothes, I'll immediately buy it and say, this is for Shabbos this week. But it's a way to put Shabbos into our week, because if our goal is Shabbos, that's constantly should be in our minds, because that's my goal. That's the day where I get to live out my goals, live out my dreams, as we're saying. So I'm going to make sure everything is set up for that day to be as nice and as pleasurable and as prepared as possible, so I can actually live out my dreams. So that's how we view Shabbos as a tachlis in our own lives, as a purpose, as a goal, an endpoint. And in Hashem's world, from Hashem's perspective, it's also the endpoint of creation, because Hashem put us in this world so that we can serve Him. So Shabbos is the day we fully live out those goals. Shabbos is the day we're not distracted by other things. It's the day we can focus totally on serving Hashem and not on other things that distract us from serving Hashem. So from Hashem's perspective, it's also an endpoint. It's an end goal. In our lives, we should make it that endpoint, that end goal. We should feel it's a day of goals, not a day of means. Yeah.
Serving Hashem. Nice phrase. Are you implying that when people go to work and have a job, that they're not serving Hashem?
I'm not implying that. I'm implying that is a means to an end rather than an end in of itself. Saying the job is part of the service of Hashem, because it's part of it, because if I can't pay my bills, I can't serve Hashem.
Okay. You seem to be making a distinction between Shabbos, you serve Hashem, and the rest of the week.
I guess the difference between the end and the means to the end. That's the distinction. They're both important, so you need them both. It means that you can't meet the goal without doing the, get everything set up as needed. But okay. So that's the that's one perspective on Shabbos as the goal. Now this goes a step further, which I mentioned earlier, and that is that Shabbos is viewed as a taste, as a miniature, as some sort of replica of Olam Haba, of the world to come. There's a few sources for that. The Gemara says that Shabbos is 1/60th of Olam Haba. 1/60th of Olam Haba. 1/60th of the world to come. Shabbos is 1/60th. So experiencing Shabbos, you're experiencing 1/60th of Olam Haba. There's the number 1/60th, just as a side point. The reason the Gemara chooses 1/60th versus any other type of fraction is because halachically, the things are considered null and void within 60 parts. I mean, the rule is, typically, let's say you drop a piece of pig into your chicken soup. So that's if there's 60 times the pig in the chicken soup, the soup's still kosher. So if it's less than 60, the soup is treif. If it's more than 60, the soup is kosher. So 1 ounce of pig in a 60-ounce chicken soup, the soup is still kosher to eat. So 60 is the limit of things becoming null and void. So Shabbos is just below that. It's enough that it's still a taste of Olam Haba, but it's not considered null and void. It actually has significance. It's the smallest amount of something that has significance, as of 1/60. It's actually a term you find a lot throughout the Gemara, 1/60th, because it does have that symbolism. It's the smallest significant part of a larger thing. Yeah.
Is that where they get the soul that goes up in the shrine?
Right, sleep is 1/60th of death. Right, that's what you're referring to. Right.
Say that again.
They say sleep is 1/60th of death. So there's some aspect of death in sleep. Instead of pointing out the soul goes up nightly to heaven and comes back down as we wake up, that's part of this idea of sleeping 1/60th of death. Again, but you find 1/60th used a lot in those types of terms. And the idea is it's the smallest fraction which is not considered meaningless.
Where does that come from, that 1/60th of death?
Of sleep? It's also a concept in the Gemara. I don't know.
Okay.
But I think it's the concept of the 60th also. What he just... something is nullified if it's left.
Right. It's the smallest amount, which isn't null, which isn't void.
It comes from kashrut or something, right?
That's what I'm saying. The kashrut is where it all comes from, halachically. Yeah.
I wanted to... Can I digress for just 1 second?
Yeah.
I learned about this 1/60th last year when I renovated my kitchen about kashrut. But I was told at that time that for Pesach, that 1/60th doesn't count.
Right, yeah. Pesach is more strict.
Okay.
Pesach, even a little crumb.
Sadly afraid of that.
Yeah. The Pesach is so strict, you can have this huge pot of soup, one little crumb of bread falls in there, and the whole soup has to be tossed.
Okay,
yeah, Pesach is very strict. So that's one source of Shabbos being a taste of Olam Haba. There's another source also, it's a Midrash. And the Midrash says that that the Jewish people said to Hashem, they said, Hashem, show us an example of the world to come within our world. We want to see Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh. That's what they asked Hashem. So Hashem said, Shabbos. Shabbos is your example. That's your picture of Olam Haba within this world. That's your picture of Shabbos. So you do have several sources that Shabbos is supposed to be a picture, a glimpse, a taste, a miniature, a replica of the world to come. And let's understand that and how that can affect our Shabbos. The world to come is the ultimate destination of any person. That's where we get our final spiritual reward. That's the eternal. That's the eternity of the soul is in this place called Olam Haba. We don't have much information about it. The rabbis tell us that it's something which goes beyond description, so we don't know much about Olam Haba. But we do know it's the place of the final spiritual reward. It's the eternal reward. That's where the soul ultimately goes and remains for eternity. In Olam Haba, everything is complete. I have to work in this world. I have to produce. I have to perform mitzvos. I have to do the right thing, and then I get the benefits in Olam Haba. That's how it works. We enjoy the fruits of our labor from life in this place called Haba. So on a very simple level, yeah.
Sorry, one more. This is so new to me, but it taps different things I've learned. So my question, when I was told that when you were saying your site, every time you say your site or do a mitzvah or do something, give the charity in somebody's name, their soul goes up one level. Is this in the world to come, or is that a different concept?
I think it's the world to come. I'm not an expert in these concepts either.
But
these concepts are confusing, a little vague. I mean, they're beyond our world, so we don't really get it. But it seems to be, that is Olam Haba. They actually get eternal reward for that which other people do for them.
And then within that...
When one says Kaddish for a parent, there's a mitzvah in the name of a parent.
They say you jump a notch every time.
Yeah, there's levels, yeah. I mean, the most righteous are in the highest levels than other. It says that every single Jew has their portion in the world to come. But obviously, everyone's going to be in their own spot. Everyone's based on what they did in their lifetime, they're going to have their own place in the world to come. So you know, the most righteous will be at a certain point, and the less righteous will be at other points, but everyone will have their place there, is what it says. And again, righteous versus wicked doesn't necessarily mean everyone has their own situation in life. Everyone's born from a different background. It's a matter of did we accomplish what we were supposed to accomplish? That's it. Everyone has their own mission. Hashem gave everyone their own mission. We can't say we're all supposed to become Moses. Well, obviously not, because we're not. No one's going to become Moses. It's different. But the question is, are we fulfilling our task in life? And that will achieve. That will place us in our spot in the world to come. So, if you look at the world to come in a very basic way, we can view it that we have a lifetime to perform, and then we have the world to come to reap the benefits, the fruits of our labor. That's how we view it. It's part of the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It says in Pirkei Avos. In several different ways. One thing it says is this world is similar to a prozdor, which we would say is it's called a waiting room or a hallway, vis-a-vis Olam Haba, which is the ballroom. So there is the pathway towards it, and there's the ballroom where you have the ultimate party. So this world is where we act and we produce and we perform. This is where we actually accrue our merits, and in the next world we get to enjoy them. It also says that one moment of tshuva, repentance and good deeds in this world is worth more than the entire world to come. Which means that, because in the world to come, we can't perform any more good deeds, we can't repent. What we've done is locked. That's it. Once we die, then we can't change what we've done. So whatever we've done has been locked in, and that's what we have in the world to come. So, in terms of actions, in terms of performance, in terms of repenting, this world is much greater than the world to come, because in this world we have the chance to act. Yeah?
Just a minute ago, you said we don't have much information about the world to come.
Right.
Are you sure we have this information?
Well, this is how we're supposed to relate to it. In terms of what is there, we don't really know. I mean, in terms of what is spiritual pleasure, what's eternity, that we have no information about. In terms of our relationship to
it,
Right. So that we know, that's part of our tradition. This Pirkei Avos I'm reading from right now. That's part of our oral tradition.
But it doesn't. I mean, we just mentioned earlier that if someone saying, like you pointed out, Judy pointed out, if a descendant or somebody says Kaddish, or they give charity in a departed person's name, and that person will become somehow elevated in the next world.
Right.
So it's true that the person themselves can't effect.
Right, the person.
But other people can.
But it's based on the impact they had within this world. That's still what's getting them to the next point in the next world. I mean, the reason that a person in this world says Kaddish to her parent, let's say.
Yeah.
So then it's because of the parent's influence on the child in this world, the parent's still gaining in the next world. So, okay. Right, that's that. So but it's all with this world is the world of where the action happens.
Of earning.
Yeah, this is the world of earning. That's the way to put it.
One moment
of tshuva.
One moment in this world.
One of tshuva and good deeds.
One good deed is greater than the world to come.
It's greater than the entire world to come. One moment of tshuva and good deeds.
That means that you can earn in this world and you can't earn in the next world.
Right. So, and from the earning perspective, this world is the place to be.
Did you say one moment of tshuva as well?
Yeah. It says tshuva and masim tovim and good deeds.
Yeah.
It's worth the entire world to come, because in the world to come, the person cannot perform tshuva or good deeds. They can't do it in the world to come. So the purpose of the world is the actions to do. Then the world to come, the purpose is the reward. That's the world of reward. We call that olam haskar, olam hagamul. There's many ways we refer to it, meaning the world of reward. It's the world where we actually get paid for what we've done. And it says in the same part in Pirkei Avos, it says one moment of satisfaction, of pleasure, in the world to come is worth this entire world. I mean, that one moment of satisfaction we have in the world to come is much, much greater than any pleasure we can imagine within our world. Because that's the world of satisfaction. That's the world of pleasure. That's the world of payment. That's how we view that world, reward. So each world has its purpose. We have two worlds. There's a world of action, and there's a world of reward. And we have to act in this world so that we can enjoy the reward in the next world. So you line that up with the weekday and Shabbos. The rabbis give an analogy. And they say that the analogy for the world, for this world, vis-a-vis the world to come, is one who toils on Erev Shabbos will get to eat on Shabbos. So if we don't get the food prepared on Erev Shabbos, Friday afternoon, if that food isn't cooked, so then we can't eat on Shabbos. Right?
No, did you get invited?
Okay. And if your host didn't cook their food, yeah.
But you still have to bring the food.
Bring something.
Yeah.
If the host didn't have the food prepared for Shabbos, then you're really stuck. You know.
Can you the pasuk for the Pirkei Avos talks about that?
Oh, you want to know what where it is? It's chapter 4, Mishnah 17. Mishnah 17. Also 16 as well. 16 and 17. So the rabbis actually use Shabbos as this example. That if we don't work all week long, and we don't prepare before Shabbos, so when Shabbos comes, we have nothing. If we work all week and we prepare during the 6 days of labor, so on Shabbos, then we can enjoy it. We have satisfaction. We can have pleasure. And the more work we put into our week, the greater Shabbos that we have. The more work we put into our lives, the greater Olam Haba we have. The two are parallel.
You're talking about mitzvah, right?
Yeah, talking about mitzvah, yeah. So spiritual accomplishment.
So also people have to go to work and they have to make a living and get money. And you can do... You can't buy good foods and you can't be...
Well, that's what we were talking about before. That's the means to the end.
Unless you actually have a source of income.
Right.
So you do make this distinction between spiritual, which I find difficult, the separation of the spiritual aspect from the actual earning of money and the materialistic... maybe you're including it in...
Okay, there's like I said before, there's a means to an end and there's an end. Making money is a tool. The money is a tool. Money's not a goal. It's a tool. It's a tool for whatever you want to use it for. Using it for mitzvos, using it for serving Hashem is a goal. Making the money is a tool for that goal. Using the money to buy food so that you can serve Hashem, that's a goal. Using the money...
Well, we serve Hashem. That means have a nice Shabbos and have nice meals. Is that what you mean by that?
That's one part of it. So, yeah, Onik Shabbos is one way to serve Hashem. It's one part of it.
Counter to Sabbath, it's
kind of like honoring yourself in a way. I find that, in other words, if you have a nice meal and you're satisfied and you're keeping, that's serving Hashem also, it seems like it's serving you.
Well, if you're having a nice meal because it's Shabbos, Hashem told you you should enjoy Shabbos. So you're listening to Hashem by eating that, enjoying that Shabbos meal. That itself is the will of God. Okay. You should enjoy Shabbos.
Okay.
So I mean, this is a concept of the 6 days and the seventh day. It's both in a physical and spiritual way. Number one, if I don't physically work all week long, then I'll have nothing on Shabbos.
Right.
And also spiritually, if I don't put any effort into spiritual growth during the 6 days of the week, so on the seventh day, which is supposed to be this great holy spiritual day, well, I also have nothing because I'm not prepared for it.
Right.
I can't tap into spirituality of Shabbos if I'm not a spiritual person all week long. I can't forget about God for 6 days. Walk into Shabbos expect to become this holy spiritual person when that's not part of my life. So entering into Shabbos is really based on our efforts during the 6 days. And again, just like entering into the world to come is based on our efforts during this world. So you have that parallel of Shabbos being tasted in the world to come in that way. And Shabbos is a day of pleasure. It's a day where I don't work, I just enjoy. That's what I'm supposed to do on Shabbos.
Yeah.
It's a day of connection with Hashem, with others. It's a day of spiritual pleasure. Olam Haba, the world to come, is again, there's no work. It's just enjoyment. It's a day of connecting with Hashem. It's a life. It's an eternity of connecting with Hashem. And it's an eternity of pleasure. So Shabbos parallels the world to come very much in that way. And there's a fascinating comment. Do you have a question, Judy?
Oh, well, I want to go back a few weeks when you talk about a mitzvah, and you said mitzvahs are not good deeds, but good deeds can be mitzvahs.
Yeah.
So you've said, I don't know, like a little while ago about how, you have the good deeds prepare you for Olam Haba.
Yeah.
So I don't know when you said good deeds, were you referring to mitzvahs?
Right, in this context, referring to mitzvahs. Okay. The term used is good deeds, but good deeds here means doing the right thing, not necessarily that I'm helping the person with tzedakah or chesed. I mean, usually in English, good deed means I help an old lady across the street. That's a good deed. I give somebody tzedakah, I'm doing a good deed. And when the rabbis use the term masim tovim, it doesn't necessarily mean just chesed. It means performing the right actions overall, which could refer to any mitzvah out there. So there's a fascinating comment made by the famous commentary, the Or HaChaim. Or HaChaim is one of the major commentators on the Torah. And usually he takes a deeper look, there's a Kabbalistic look at what's happening in the Torah itself. And he says a fascinating thing. He says that one who doesn't experience some pleasure of Olam Haba within this world can't experience the pleasure of Olam Haba. So a person who doesn't have a world to come experience within our world won't be able to appreciate the pleasure when they actually get to the world to come.
You talk about keeping Shabbos.
Well, then he continues. He says that keeping Shabbos is that pleasure. That's what he says. Keeping Shabbos, one who keeps Shabbos correctly, has to somehow tap into the spiritual pleasure of Shabbos. And if you haven't ever tapped into that in your entire life, he says you're going to have a very difficult time experiencing the spiritual pleasure of the next world. That's what he says. And we have to understand what he means by that, because it's a very powerful statement. So if you think about it, he says, if we can't appreciate Shabbos, what does it mean to appreciate Shabbos? So we said Shabbos is a day of pleasure. Shabbos is a day of goals, a day of rest, a day of purpose. It's a day of where you're with Hashem. You're not involved in other things. You're not distracted by other things in life. You're focused in. You're focused in on your soul, on yourself, on those around you, and on Hashem. What do we expect to happen in the world to come? What's the pleasure in the world to come? The pleasure in the world to come isn't going to be, again, we don't say it's going to be a steak and a beer. That's not what we say. We can all appreciate a steak and a beer. If you're a vegetarian, you can appreciate, eggplant and a beer. I don't know. Right? Everyone can appreciate some sort of food in this world. But we say the reward in the world to come is not physical. It's not food. It's not the pleasures that we usually talk about on a daily basis. Let's say, for instance, as an example, we talk about acquired tastes. So a person gives you a $150 bottle of wine. Great dry red wine. So if you're a wine drinker, you're very excited. This is going to be great. I'm going to save it for a special occasion, open it up, and really enjoy myself. If you're not a wine drinker, then for you it's as good as a bottle of dish soap. It doesn't really do much for you. But so that's we take that same idea. So for some people it's the greatest pleasure. For others, they prefer Cherry Coke. That's how we view that bottle of wine. So Olam Haba, it's a special type of pleasure. It's a spiritual pleasure. If we enter an Olam Haba and we have no sense at all for what it means to experience God, that spiritual pleasure, so we're going to get there and they're going to pour on us all of this spiritual pleasure and we're going to not know how to deal with it. Just like if you're not a wine drinker, giving you a fancy bottle of wine doesn't really do much for you. If you enter into the world to come and you've never ever tapped into the spiritual type pleasure, you've never felt any sort of pleasure in Shabbos, in a mitzvah, in Torah study, you name which spiritual pleasure we're talking about. And Shabbos is our symbol, it's our paradigm. But then you go into the world to come, so it's going to be spirituality. Like we said, it's going to be enjoying the radiance of God's presence. It's going to be delight in God. But we have to develop a taste for that within our lifetime. And it's the ability to be able to slow down, to focus, not to be distracted by the means, but focus on the ends. Tap into a higher spiritual pleasure. There's a warmth, there's a love, which we should feel on Shabbos. And that's the pleasure of the world to come. But if we're totally numb to that within our life, I mean, he doesn't say you have to have a major taste of it. You have to have some taste of it in this world. That's it. We have to have some, we have to develop that sense, a sense for being able to settle down and focus and relate to goals and relate to real spiritual rest. And then we can appreciate the world to come. But without that, we're going to have a lot of trouble appreciating the world to come because we're not going to have that sense built into ourselves. So that's how we can understand this comment of the Or HaChaim. So the idea of Onik Shabbos, we're talking about enjoying Shabbos. So this is the idea. The Shabbos is supposed to be a next worldly enjoyment. It's supposed to be a way that we enjoy a pleasure of Olam Haba. So it begins with physical pleasures. I mean, if the food on Shabbos is awful, it's very hard to enjoy Shabbos overall. So we have to make a nice Shabbos meal. You know, a burnt shul endeavor doesn't much effort for anybody. But you have this is how burnt it is. But once if the food on Shabbos is good, the atmosphere is nice, it's relaxing, it's restful, it gives you the ability to focus, and then it helps to spiritually give us pleasure as well. It helps to charge us in a way which we can tap into spiritual pleasures. So the food on Shabbos should become a spiritually charged food because it's a food which is for the sake of enjoying Shabbos. And when I enjoy that in the right atmosphere, with the right perspective, the right approach, so then it becomes more spiritual enjoyment. So we have to create Shabbos in this way. So practically in our lives, what do? We have to create Shabbos in our homes, in our lives, in that way. Be around the right people, create the right atmosphere, do the right things. If we do that, so then we will create a very spiritual, otherworldly type day. Like we mentioned last week. We're not making a good cholent. Yeah, that's a good thing too. But like we mentioned last week, Shabbos, we should go, I'm stepping into a different world on Shabbos. There's a world of 6 days, there's a world of Shabbos. And that world is a totally different life. It's a different world. And that world is created based on our efforts during the week. So the spiritual and physical efforts of the week are going to create the atmosphere of Shabbos. So we could create that through, again, those who are around, the food we make, the food we eat, the conversations in our meals, the people that we associate with, singing, relaxation, prayer, Torah study, all these things create an atmosphere of Shabbos which can make it a real spiritual, otherworldly experience. And we should leave Shabbos with a real sense of content, pleasure, tranquility. And again, Shabbos comes every week, so it's not easy to do. Maybe once in a blue moon we have a very inspiring, restful, spiritual type Shabbos. But it's our goal, our job is to create Shabbos in a way which is going to create an atmosphere like that. So to approach Shabbos, I have nowhere else to go, nothing else to do, I'm experiencing my goal, I'm experiencing my end point. That's how we create it. It's an approach to Shabbos, which, as our goal, Shabbos should become our greatest joy of our week. I mean, anticipate Shabbos all week long. If you ever listen to Shlomo Carlbach, he has a song, he's like, all week long, I wait for the holy Shabbos. You know, he sings that. Right, it's Uncle Moshe. I think he got it from Shlomo Carlbach, too.
Oh, okay.
But everyone has, but there is a concept of that we should anticipate it all week long, because that's the day of pleasure, that's the day of goal, that's the day I'm working towards that. I yearn for that. As we approach Shabbos, we're excited, we anticipate it. As I step into Shabbos, I feel the pleasure. And when I say Abdullah, I feel sad that it's leaving. Now, another one of the people, that's Uncle Moshe's song. Shabbos is going away. That's another one. But the songs are cute, but the emotions, we have to be able to develop the emotions. That's the songs tell us what the emotions should be a lot of the time. But we have to develop those emotions. And a lot of us, you know, as Shabbos ends, we're excited to be able to wash the dishes and get on with our life. But really, when Shabbos ends, because if we view Shabbos as our goal, so then this is where we're supposed to be, so I don't want it to end. If Shabbos is another thing in our schedule, so then, okay, I did it, now it's over, let's move on. But to view Shabbos from this perspective as a goal, it's the end of my week, it's my purpose, that's why I'm here, so then I don't want to leave my purpose, this is why I'm alive, this is what I'm working for. Everything else is just a means to an end. This is the end. So with that perspective.
I really have to think. You know, you're not living for Shabbos. People don't live for Shabbos. They live because they have some overarching purpose in which to accomplish in their life. And Shabbos is steps of peace along the way of your trail of life. But you're not What about that? I mean, people have a purpose in their life to achieve. Shabbos is a day of rest. But I don't think human beings are created only to experience Shabbos. They're created to do something, have some meaning, or, you know, to have some achievements. It's the rest of the week. rather than just shocked. It's in there too, you know?
I think the rabbi, let me see if I can try it, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, let me take it from the beginning, see if my understanding is. God created us in his image. And if God created us in his image, we have to emulate God in our daily lives. And the ultimate is to practice living like God so that when it is the end of our life, we can ascend to the world to come. So a taste of the world to come is every 7 days. And so whatever we're aspiring to be, a lawyer or a medical doctor or CEO of the top 500, whatever that is, they're broken down into units. So that every 7 days we're reminded of the taste of the world to come. So in essence, if we go from think global, act local, if we're living to emulate God and we're living as Jews to reach the world to come, to ascend to those heights,
emulating God, it means God created on 6 days. And that's emulating God.
This isn't
also.
What I started off with, which I think you may have missed, is that there's means and there's ends. There's things that you do to get to purpose, and there's things that are purpose, that are your goal. Shabbos is a day in which the focus is all on goals, not on means. During the week, we're involved in both. Sometimes we do things that are goals, sometimes we do things that are means. But during the week, a lot of what we do is just the means to an end. You can't say, like I was saying before, making money itself is not a goal. It should be a tool, a means to an end. Okay. Calling a plumber is a means to an end. Mowing the lawn is a means to an end. Sweeping your floor is a means to the end. Driving to the store and shopping is a means to an end. Those are all weekday activities. Shabbos, the focus is totally on goals. It's on prayer, Torah study, enjoyment, relationships. That's what Shabbos is about. So those are all goals, not means. So Shabbos is that day in our week where it's a day focused on goals. I'm living my goals today. I'm not just doing jobs that are means to an end. I'm actually focused on the ends today. So if the things that happen on Shabbos are all my goals in life, why am I rushing to get back to the means to an end? Why am I rushing to wash the dishes when that's only means to an end? But on Shabbos, where I'm focusing on the goal itself. That's the point I'm making. It's not to say that all week long we're not doing anything important. It's to say that Shabbos is the day where its total focus is just on goals, just on purpose, and not on things that are merely tools or ways to get to the purpose. That's what I was trying to say. I mean, without Shabbos, life would just be, like you're saying, this is a stopping point along the way, but it's a stopping point along the way to focus on our goals. It's to focus on, why am I alive? What am I working for?
Yeah.
Both in a spiritual and a physical sense. Why am I working physically? Why am I working spiritually? So Shabbos is the day where we step back and we focus. Well, I'm working so that I can enjoy, so that I can relate to God, relate to other people, relate to myself. That's why I'm working all week long, in a physical and spiritual plane. That's what I'm doing. Without Shabbos, life would just be an endless cycle. Things just keep on going. I never have a chance to step back and focus totally on goals. I'll just constantly be working, again, spiritually and physically.
Well, that's for sure.
But never actually tasting the fruits of my labor. Shabbos day, to taste the fruits of your labor and focus on what you're working for, rather than the work itself. So Shabbos should give our whole week in our life. It should be that marker which gives us purpose and meaning and taste the world to come so that we can all merit to really take in that eternal, ultimate spiritual pleasure. Any other questions?
Yeah. Question.